God hath showed thee, O human, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. We are able to do all those three things. We are able to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God, because we have been created in the image of God. God is goodness itself. Emanuel Swedenborg writes that because we have been created in the image of God, we are able to discern what is true and to do what is good. He says that this ability to discern what is true and to do what is good is the image of God. We can do this because God is goodness itself. And that goodness is in the very essence of our being. This journey of becoming more and more more compatible vessels for God's goodness and truth does not happen in an instant. It happens through a progression, through a process. Swedenborg talks about it in many ways. He talks about it in terms of our being able to become civic individuals, moral individuals, and spiritual individuals. Again, because we have been created in God's image. He says that to become a civic individual, to be civic means that we more or less abide by the laws of the land. It means that we more or less stay within the limits of the law. Now, we can do this for a variety of reasons, but we can certainly do this because we don't want to get in trouble. We can keep more or less within the speed limit because we don't want to get caught. We don't want to get a ticket. We don't want our insurance rates to go up. But we can behave civically. And Swedenborg talks about what it is to behave morally. To behave morally is more than just obeying the laws so that we won't get caught. Behaving morally is treating one another with some loving kindness. With some justice, with some regard for others beside our own self. And we can behave morally for a variety of reasons, including because we want to look good. We want other people to like us. We want our reputation to stand. And then Emanuel Swedenborg talks about our becoming a spiritual individual. This is the journey of eternity. To become a spiritual individual can have similar behaviors as acting civically and morally, but it is the intention behind those behaviors that makes it spiritual. And that is truly loving others, truly wanting others to know the deepest and the fullest joy, wanting others to have all that they need to eat, to feel safe, to enjoy companionship, and family, and love. to want this? For no other reason than because it is goodness itself. It is God. Over many times and cultures, what is moral behavior has varied. There was a time, not all that long ago, in the history of this country, that there were debates about the morality of slavery. And many people believed it was a part of the divine order, this hierarchy of human beings. Some people believed that it was more moral, if you were a slave owner, not to separate the families and to not beat your slaves unless it was absolutely necessary. Our ideas and visions of what is moral and good grow. At least it's the belief of this church that we are indeed, over the millennia, growing in our ability and our desire and our understanding of what it means to be moral and good. But that this growth does not happen in a straight line. It has its ups and downs. But that God has given us minds and hearts created in God's image that we will together be able to find our way. I just read this week that it was a part of the traditional Navajo understanding that when someone misbehaves in a civil way, in other words, breaking laws and acting badly toward others, that it's because there is a dark wind within them. And that therefore, morally, what needs to happen is that person needs to be cleansed and renewed. And that what is not working right within them needs to be discovered and released. And that therefore, from that traditional Navajo understanding, they have no comprehension at all how there could be a culture that would have a three strikes law. Because it doesn't fit within their mindset of an eye for an eye. In exit polls from our elections a couple of weeks ago, there was one survey that had to do with asking what people were most concerned about in terms of the vote that they made. I think they had five choices as to what influenced their vote most, whether it was terrorism, the war in Iraq, poverty, health care, or moral values. 22% of the people said moral values. But I would say that anybody who answered either A, B, C, or D, we're all talking about moral values because terrorism is a moral value. And the economy and poverty is a moral value. The ability for those who are ill to receive health care is a moral value. War is a moral value. Now, that doesn't mean, of course, that people will agree on what the solutions to those moral dilemmas are. But these are all questions of morality. There was another poll done asking Americans, what do you see as the greatest signs of the greatest moral decline of Americans? And one-third said I forget. Greed and materialism. One-third said greed and materialism. And another one-third said poverty and the lack of economic justice. There have been polls done of people living outside this country asking, what do they see as our greatest moral issues of Americans? And what I've read is, and I'm sure there's a variety, but what I've read are two main ones. One is spiritual arrogance, moral arrogance, a sense of moral superiority. And that kind of goes hand in hand with greed, doesn't it? And the other one was lack of desire for reconciliation. In other words, divisiveness. You know, it's good to know what others think of us, because we all have work to do. And as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, there's differences of opinion about how that work needs to be accomplished and can be accomplished. I woke up this morning at 4 a.m. with a vision. It was an extraordinary vision. Of humanity truly living forth the image and likeness of God. I've been living with this text all week about doing justice and loving mercy and walking humbly with God. And in my vision, I saw that reality. And I also saw how very far we all fall short of living that reality. And that was very humbling. And it is perhaps the last of those three that we as Americans need to focus on first and foremost, is humility. And perhaps that can also be something that helps reconcile all of us. Elephants and donkeys, and all of us. That humility. We all need to do our part, and we all will, and we all continue to will, as individuals and as a community and as a nation. I want to lift up this morning one aspect of this church community's life that I wish to give thanks for and to celebrate in terms of how I have seen this church community and those who have come before us in this community seek to live spiritually their moral principles. And this will be an action that was not unanimous at the time and will not be and wasn't unanimous when it was made here, but it's still the direction this church community has chosen to go in. And that is, for over 50 years, this congregation has opened its doors to a ministry of rites and sacraments. For over 50 years, 60, 70, 80 years or more, I haven't gone back to find out when this decision was made. Maybe it wasn't a decision. Maybe it just naturally happened that this church chose to open its doors for anyone to be married here. Can you remember or think back when? If one person was Protestant and the other person was Catholic, that their church doors would be closed to them? When one person was black and one person white? I give thanks that this church always had its doors open. Weddings, baptisms and memorial services, that this church has practiced the morality of family values by cherishing and celebrating the lives of committed couples coming together, sharing their love with one another, bringing children into their families, and living forth. And it was about a dozen years ago or more that the first same-sex couple came to our door and knocked and asked, "Can we come in? Can our union be celebrated?" I thank God that this congregation thought about it, talked about it, and responded yes. Our denomination, the Swedenborgian Church, came up with a resolution on this moral issue this past summer, and I want to read it to you. A denominational statement on same-sex marriage. This was not unanimous, but it was almost unanimous. But I want to say that if there are those of you in this room today who disagree with this, as there were in the room when it was made and as there were 12 years ago when this congregation made that decision, that we're all welcome, and that when we choose actions based on our morality, being humble means that we do not judge or evaluate the moral place of someone else who comes to a different decision than we do. With humility and prayerful willingness to be led by the Lord and in love toward the neighbor, the Swedenborgian Church of North America, a Christ-centered church that affirms religious pluralism, recognizes the goodness of love in many forms. Wherever love is, God is there too. For God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. We also affirm the fundamental human right of freedom of choice. We affirm the right of each individual to choose his or her life partner and to do so within a committed relationship based in love and faith toward the Lord and in love and fidelity toward one another. We affirm that in a democratic and free society, adult persons should be free to enjoy the same basic legal rights within a committed and faithful relationship, regardless of gender, sexual orientation, race, religion, or social status. We affirm that the presence of hatred, discrimination, homophobia, and selfishness are against God's will as we perceive the divine with us and working among us. Therefore, we do so declare and affirm that couples, irrespective of sexual orientation, deserve the right to legally join themselves together in a union of love called marriage. Let's pray. Dearest Lord God, help each and every one of us individually and as a spiritual community to find our way to living your truth and your goodness out fully in our lives. We know that this is not only a journey of a lifetime, but a journey of many lifetimes. as the human community evolves and grows in its capacity to love. Help us to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you. Lord, help us to do our very, very best in terms of what we see to be right and good and true. And help us always to be open to knowing that the goodness and truth that we are living is but a shadow compared to what is possible for us in your love and your light. Amen.